And joining us now is a sports injury expert, Southern Nevada's Dr. Caleb Pinneger from Crivetti Orthopedics. You can follow them on Twitter at Crivetti Ortho or Crivetti Ortho online as well. Dr. Pinneger, how are you, man?
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Come on now,
man.
All right.
Here we go.
Let's get to this. You texted in that you might be late for the spot because of the snow. One, how a doctor of your level doesn't have your own chauffeur, I'm not sure. You're not like slobs like on the press box. But the snow kind of threw me for a loop. How much snow is out there right now?
Hey, it was hitting the windshield. I didn't see any stick. It was enough to make me and everyone on the freeway panic.
Any precipitation in this state of people with sig alerts backed up. Oh, my God, what are we going to do? You
humanity.
Know this is leading every newscast tonight.
It is.
Every newscast.
And it almost feel like, you know, if it wasn't a danger for people driving right now, it'd be like, hey, call us up. Let us know how the roads are. You know, but
you don't want that.
No, it'd be a calamity all over because it's not just that you don't know how to drive in the snow. We know you do, but there's others who just freak out when they just see any bit of moisture, and you have to sit and wait for them because you want to survive the night.
Yes. Yep.
James Neal, Fleury, could be Carlson, and Nate Schmidt could be traded. Gallant fired, and the local news would lead with tonight, we had a little snow flurry out there in Summerlin. Yeah, be aware of what might happen.
Right, it could happen again tomorrow.
Oh, anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Mea culpa all day long. But Dr. Pinneger's here, and we always go over a large list of notable injuries in the sports world, and he dissects them because he studied with Dr. James Andrews for a year fellowship, as well as he's still with Crivetti Orthopedics, and they deal with sports injuries on a day-to-day basis. But before we get into some specific cases, we've always wanted to ask you about the psychology of sports injury, because we noticed that there are notable athletes, after their surgery, they still seem very tentative about coming back for whatever reason. But we noticed that, you know, even for you, how often do you deal with like a range of emotions that patients have before surgery? Because when they come to see you, they expect 100% success rate, right?
Oh, yeah. They will accept nothing less.
Right. And their money is dependent on it. So you have agents, you have families. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on you, but you also have to go and tell them, look, this isn't always going to fix everything.
Yeah, no surgery's perfect. And I think that's a hard conversation to have with any person, and the younger, the harder. Because, kids bounce back from so many things. You have a surgery and you say, hey, look, we have a 85% likelihood that we get you back. Every kid you talk to is part of the 85. None of them are part of the 15.
Right.
Because they can't accept that. And granted, you don't want to have your patient going into a procedure thinking, well, I'm going to be part of the 15.
But during the process, we're speaking with Dr. Pinneger here with Crivetti Orthopedics. When you have an athlete that goes through the surgery, but then afterwards you lay out a rehab timeline for them. Obviously, that's very structured. But yet we still see so many times where athletes are unable to go because mentally and psychologically they're held back. What happens for them? Is there any timeline or any sort of rehab for the psychological aspect of them coming back to full form?
There is. The coordinated effort with a sports psychologist and with a more of a practice squad for a time. I mean, you're trying to get these guys not only recovered, but you're also trying to get them to where they can function on game day. And that involves setting up events where they have real-life type practices, real-life events, something that mimics what they'll really do, and to be able to trust this thing. I mean, if you have a guy who gets a ligament reconstructed, he's going to be scared the first multiple times he's taking steps and taking a cut because he remembers what it felt like when it cut loose.
Right.
And to go through those motions again, trusting what you haven't trusted in 7, 8, 10 months is hard.
Doctor, I wanted to ask you about, I'll go with Kawhi Leonard here. Made news this week when Pop said we don't think he's coming back this season. Kawhi Leonard, by all reports, has been medically cleared on the quad. Spent some time in L.A. Talking to other doctors. Apparently he's rehabbing. But as a doctor, if you're a doctor of an athlete at that level, an elite-level athlete, obviously you want to make him healthy, but you want to get him back. I mean, you know, that's what his livelihood, as Clay said. When that happens, and I know you can't speak specifically about Kawhi, but let's just player A, and you see the scans, and you see the rehab, and you see everything as a doctor and a medical professional sees, and you say, you are cleared. I cannot see anything with this injury that will preclude you from returning to be either an NBA player, an NFL player, whatever your sport demands of you. And yet the player says, I'm not ready. As a doctor, I assume you have to accept that because he's not going to go back on the court until he's ready. Do you then in the back of your mind say, is there something else there? Do we need to keep looking at this? Or is it, you know what, we have to wait till he mentally, like you said, can accept that he thinks his body's ready. And sometimes I think it's unfair. Fans like, well, if the doctor says you're medically cleared, why aren't you back there? And he's saying, I'm not ready.
Yeah. No, the athlete's perception is everything, right? I mean, I could tell you, hey, you can dunk that 10-foot hoop, but I mean, if it's not in your head, if you don't have what it takes to do it, you're not going to be able to do it. And so for these guys, they have to be mentally prepared, be mentally ready, and that emotional aspect of the game is huge. It's a very big portion. And that's why you see these guys potentially get another opinion, because the physician in charge of them is like, hey, look, by all studies and by by the tests we've done, either in the office, on the field, with your training staff, everything looks like you should be good to go, but clearly you're not. So instead of hanging the athlete out to dry, saying, hey, look, it's all you, it's in your head, suck it up. Now you have to say, am I missing something?
Right.
Is there more? So they get another opinion. They see another physician. They get some more scans. They try something different. And you always wonder, is there more to it? You hope you've done your due diligence by the appropriate workup, but it's best in that situation to get another set of eyes on it, get a sports psychologist involved, say, hey.
That part I was going to ask you about. You get someone of the psychology part involved to say, hey, what's going on here? Because Dr. Penninger or whoever, who are the experts in this field, say you're good. Let's find out inside our head here why you don't believe you're good. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think they get a bad rap sometimes. I was listening to Barkley last night. He was talking about Kawhi. He's like, look, you know, ever since he's come into the league, he's been quiet, respectful, unassuming, barely speaks, really. He's not one of these flamboyant guys. So, and I think Shaq said the same thing, we need to trust, as basketball people, that if his mind is saying body's not ready, then it's not ready, no matter what the medicals might say.
Absolutely. And every time we give someone a return to play prediction, it's a range. If you read any of our literature, which would be very boring for you guys, but our papers
off. No, we can get it. We read it all the time.
I sit at home with pigeons and watch NYPD Blue. You'd be a part. That stuff would be a party for me.
It's always a range. So from an ACL, you have people coming back in a spectrum. It could be 8 months. It could be 14 months. So the average is going to be a certain number, but everybody's different. Everybody's rehab goes a different way. Everybody's mental preparedness is different. And so some of these guys take more than a year to come back from what you think might take 6 months. But that's that athlete. Respect that athlete. Trust that they're not just stringing themselves on to get a payday. They want to get back too, for the most part. And so you treat them and get them ready, sometimes on their schedule.
By the way, you better give yourself 8 hours to get back to the office. Look at the snowstorm and blizzard that's happening outside.
It's actually happening.
If you have surgery scheduled for later this afternoon, you better cancel that. There is no chance on the road you're getting back to the office.
It's snowing.
Look at that. Wow. It's amazing. Where are you from originally?
It's fantastic. I grew up in Utah. I love this.
This is your home.
Where's my skis?
This is insane.
I'm going to set something up on your roof right now.
We're with Dr. Caleb Penninger with Crivetti Orthopedics. Follow them online at CrivettiOrtho.com. So just wrapping this up on the psychological thing, when we first had you in, we talked about Andrew Luck, the Colts quarterback, and how he had shoulder surgery, but yet refused to throw after feeling like a little bit of tenderness, and they saw no inflammation on any MRIs when he was doing his rehab and when he should have been fully medically cleared to come back. And people thought, all right, it's in your head. Maybe it's in his heart that he doesn't want to come back. But we've often thought about that term. He's 100%. He should be back. When you have surgery, are you ever 100% when you come back?
Our only way to measure that is either by their strength. So we put them on a machine and we test them.
Okay.
And their ability to, you know, what was their speed before? What was their strength with a leg press or a bench press?
Can they do what they did before?
But should they not expect to be 100%? Right. Because you're never going to be 100% after surgery. Or is that wrong? Am I wrong to assume that?
You know, some people come back stronger.
Okay.
And I think we've mentioned before, there's people that come back from Tommy John surgery and they're throwing faster. It's not that the ligament's special. It's that their core strength is stronger. Their legs are stronger. They come back with more whole body preparedness. And so are they 100%? You could argue probably better because they are performing better. But it's, you know, an injured extremity is an injured extremity. There is some unpredictability about that. But But to get them back to 100%, I think in a lot of cases is completely possible.
Okay, that's interesting. We wonder about the a couple notable injuries. We'll start with the NBA. We've talked about NBA guards over the years, and you said right off the bat you've scoped NBA knees for many years, and they're old knees. Even when they're young men, they're old knees. John Wall with the Washington Wizards, he is the heart and soul of that team, but he's been out. I think maybe will return in a month. He's getting his knees scoped. He's had surgery on both knees, but exactly what does that mean for getting them scoped, and how long and why does it take so long to come back?
It's an issue of swelling, and it's an issue of pain. If they're not repairing anything, then you're waiting for the trauma of surgery. If you consider an injured knee, he's hurt it by playing, and now you add the trauma and further inflammation and injury from surgery. You're taking something similar to the size of a pencil and you're poking it inside his joint. You're moving it all around, and that creates pain and inflammation. And so now you have to wait for that to calm down. And so he needs to go through that recovery process so the swelling's better, so his range of motion's full, because for him to run around and play around on a swollen or a limited knee is going to only get him hurt. So you have to wait for that process to heal.
I'm sorry, Ed, what were you going to say?
No, go ahead.
Well, we were talking about also using virtual reality goggles.
Right, with Fultz.
Yeah, on Markel Fultz. We've gone like the whole spectrum with you on Markel Fultz. He is now using VR goggles. We see this every now and then on some
We
awesome
also know he took money from the agent. But
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
his name's on the list.
And you can buy a lot of good
goggles.
You can
buy a lot of good goggles with the money that guy got.
Do you use VR for people's recovery at Crivetti Orthopedics?
We haven't to this point. I think that's something we're going to see more of. And there's a physical therapy practice in our building, but physical therapy is a separate entity for a lot of orthopedic clinics. And I think you're going to see that become more common. The goal is to mimic real life, right? Instead of having a person reach and touch a spot on a wall, there's some new discussion on, okay, what if you convince this person, especially in a younger person, if you got a kid who's trying to do therapy, what if you put these glasses on him and you pretend he's reaching up in a cupboard to grab a Pokemon or something?
Yeah.
And so you're going to convince this kid to try harder. You're going to convince him to do more repetitions without being so bored. And so I think VR really might have an expanded role in the future. I think there was even the commercial in the Olympics, if you saw it, the amputee trying to walk. You put the goggles on her.
Right.
And now suddenly she's, you know, she sees more of a real-life adaptation to the mechanism she's trying to practice. So with Markel Fultz, you put him in, I don't know what they're showing him, but they're probably trying to mimic a situation where he has to position his body, throw up a shot, and they're trying to practice real-life scenarios in a safe, protected environment where he gets the reps he needs, gets the practice to try to get him back in his game.
Spring training underway in baseball. Let's go right to the best team, the Dodgers. No bias there. But their best pitcher in baseball, Clayton Kershaw. In 2016, he avoids back surgery with epidurals and rehab. Then he has a setback. He's supposed to be out less than a month. He has a setback. 2017, sits out 10 weeks after the lower back strain, no MRI damage. So two-part question. Obviously, the back is very important for a pitcher. They are obviously trying to avoid any kind of surgery with him and to get him through, because I would assume a surgery might shut him down for an entire season. When you have this many back issues, and I know you guys don't like to put percentages on things, would you be surprised, though, if he could get through his career without a surgery, just then to have a healthy, everyday, normal life with his wife and his kids, that ultimately surgery for a herniated disc is in the cards?
I think if with any lumbar disc herniation, and granted, I know we've talked, I'm not a back specialist, but a lumbar disc pushes pressure on a nerve. If that nerve stays irritated, you can leave with weakness, pain, continued problems. If you can get this to calm down, and if an epidural reduces the inflammation, and now you have those symptoms go away, you keep at it. There's the chance you can re-herniate in that area or make it worse and potentially go backwards. But the recovery, if you don't do surgery on these guys, is quicker to get them back to a baseball pitcher. If you have a pitcher who has a surgery, overall, the potential to return to play is, of course, there, surgery or non-surgery, but it's a little faster return to play if you can do it without surgery. You're not dealing with trying to wait for skin to heal.
Is that just a cliche, or is it absolutely – you hear that all – there's certain parts of the body, and the back seems to be the one – even guys like us, you know, my back hurts, well, don't get surgery. I mean, you know, that's, you always hear that as, you know, no matter what age you are, it's like avoid. Is the back the one kind of area that that's most said about? And I understand why. I can get that, why it's so important, what everything that relates to the back. But is that a cliche, or do you, is that really true? Like, if we can handle this other ways, whether it be epidurals or rehab, let's go that way first. And why is it? It's just so intrusive. It's such a, you know, obviously an critical area with the spine and what might happen. I mean, is that, do you hear that often? Like, if we can avoid it, we'll avoid it.
I get people in my office with a spectrum of injuries, whether it be a knee, a hip, a shoulder, and there is that discussion about any joint, really. Right. Oh, the last thing you want to do is get surgery.
Right.
And to a point, once you have surgery, you can never unoperate on that part of your body. It's been operated on. So there's the potential for difference. We said, you know, you can get people to 100%, absolutely.
Right.
But in the back, if you progress down that process, if you have part of your disc removed, now you have less cushion in that level. Is that going to make it weak and more likely to get arthritis down the road?
Yeah.
Anytime you, it's like a meniscus. You trim away part of the meniscus, that meniscus suddenly has...
It's not coming back?
It's not coming back. And if you trim part of it out, now the weight that goes through that part of the joint is higher. So you potentially have further risk of cartilage injury down the road. So in any body part, you try to leave what God gave you. And if you have to, you do surgery, and there's some smarts to waiting if you can avoid it and treat it with therapy and exercise. Most people want to
get it done.
Most people want to wait.
They don't want to deal with back surgery.
Yeah.
Or any surgery. I mean, I guess any surgery. Some obviously with the blown ACLs and everything. That discussion never comes up because it has to be repaired.
Exactly. And a rotator cuff tear. I mean, we know a rotator cuff tear is not going to heal.
Right.
An ACL is not going to regrow.
Right.
You have certain things that, you know, and if you have a disc herniation that's putting pressure on your nerve, you know, you give it a fair shake at trying to see if an anti-inflammatory injection is going to help. And if it's not, then you got to get that thing out.
That's the voice of Dr. Caleb Pinneger at Crivetti Orthopedics. Go online, CrivettiOrtho.com. See all the good work that they do in and around Southern Nevada. He is the leading sports injury expert, Dr. Caleb Pinneger, on the text line. And we're getting it today. And we never talk professional wrestling. But every time we have you on, people always have questions related to wrestlers, and one of them is about Daniel Bryan, a wrestler from WWE, and I know you don't specialize in brain-related matters. I know that's not your field, but concussions that lead to seizures, and this is the reason why Daniel Bryan was a very popular wrestler and seemingly like he had a long career in that sport of entertainment. What do you make of that when you have concussions that cause seizures, and how dangerous is that for you? Because for any athlete, that they have to go realize, like, there is a certain limit to your career, and when it comes to this, that means it's the end.
Your brain's arguably the most important part of you, right? I mean, brain, heart, you go without...
It's questionable in here, my friend, but go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's just
that's
fine.
Questioned often in this room.
So with a traumatic brain injury, and a concussion is a brain injury, whether this be a subtle bruise, whether you actually create more bleeding and you have a small hematoma. I mean, the spectrum of traumatic brain injuries is wide, like we've talked about ligament strains. I mean, a bruise to the brain is one thing, a bleed is another thing, and your brain's like a map. Every part of the brain has a different job, and depending on where this bruise occurs, you lead to a different outcome. Whether it's a weak arm or a weak leg or seizures or trouble with your vision or balance, all of those come from your brain depending on which part of the map you hurt.
Okay.
And the likelihood of developing seizures after a traumatic brain injury, concussion, whatnot, it's not zero. And the more concussions you get, the easier it is to bruise your brain. And so in people that have multiple concussions, I mean, we see that in the NFL, suddenly these guys take a much lighter hit and they're concussed again. It's because the brain becomes less tolerant of that trauma. And you don't want to get to a point where, you know, you can't be concussed all the time. You can't walk around with a buzzed brain. You need to let it heal, and to a point you look at the risk to benefit and say, hey, look, you know, you're okay now, but it's taking much less injury to cause you to have symptoms. You clearly don't want to develop epilepsy and be in a state of recurrent seizures. Maybe you hang it up.
You hear that about football players. I mean, they had so many. I've heard Troy Aikman talk about this. He said, I have no idea how many I had.
Yeah.
He goes, I had a lot. He goes, I couldn't even tell you. But it more and more, it got to where he'd get one and you barely touched him. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like he went from, like, you know, the first one ever, he probably got really popped.
Oh, yeah.
To where now you're falling at a weird angle, and it's like, well, I don't even know if he hit his head, but now he's got a concussion because it just, it becomes so commonplace, especially in football, obviously, mm-hmm. with these guys. I thought that was very scary when I saw the one interview with him. It was about concussions, and he literally said, I have no clue how many I've had. Because there's no, he goes, there's no question early in the career, high school and college, I just played through it, just out of headache.
Yeah. And even kids now, they don't want to tell you. They come off the field, they're walking in a zigzag towards you. They're like, I'm good, I can play.
Right.
Like, okay, sit here for a minute. And then you have to take their helmet from them.
Sure.
You hold it, or you tell the trainer to hide it because that kid's going to try to find it and go play, and they're at risk. If you get back-to-back concussions while you're still concussed, if you get a second one, there's a risk of dying.
Yeah.
And if you if you had that happen as the medical staff on the sideline, it's inexcusable.
Also from the text line, in honor of the snow coming down with Dr. Caleb Pinneger, they are asking, what's your favorite ski resort in Utah, Snowbird or Deer Valley?
Ooh.
And I'll put you on the clock.
Snowbird, I'd have to say.
Yeah?
Yeah. There's no clock needed. The Snowbird's steep. I like it steep.
The one I like in Utah was the that I was at one time was, what's the Redford Mountain?
Sundance.
Sundance with the film festival. Mm-hmm. That was nice, Clay.
No,
it was very
nice.
Intimate.
They allowed you in?
It wasn't crazy. They allowed me in. It was years ago. I mean, now I'd have no chance.
No, it's
but,
over.
I mean,
it's
years
a great
ago.
Little resort. It's small.
Small,
they
intimate.
They don't get the quality of snow as some of the places, but I grew up on that mountain. That was
on
close
Sundance.
To home. Yeah.
Really?
I could be at the top of the mountain to my class in college in less than 30 minutes.
Oh, that's the good life right there.
It was, nice.
It was
good
perfect.
For you. You'll be able to drive home safely. Are we still snowing? I think the blizzard's passed.
Yep, it was short.
Now we're just left with solitude of the winter.
I've got Nobits texting me, snow out here in Summerlin. She's all excited. I'm like, yeah, you're too.
Yeah, that's right. We will rebuild in Summerlin. Well, Dr. Pinneger, it was great having you in each and every couple weeks. It's fun to have you here, and thanks for making time for us. I know it was a busy day for you, and then you had to haul ass to get here
in
the snow.
Yeah,
in
the snow. You know. Back in doc,
put it in four-wheel drive. We're good.
Back in school, you walked 8 miles through that snow. We know how bad it was for you. So to get over here, good job. Thank you very much.
You guys.
Thanks
pleasure.
Again.
When we come back, Scott Bylo, kid's been on fire with the NHL.
That's the sound cosmic.
It's brought to you by Finley North True Honda and Finley North Volkswagen in Centennial Hills. Watch out for the accidents. They are on the freeways, 15 northbound at Charleston. We also have a crash on Tropicana eastbound near 215, 215 eastbound at Buffalo, Las Vegas Boulevard north at Cactus. And we also have another crash. Now it's off to the right shoulder, 15 northbound near Flamingo. Brought to you by Finley True North Honda and True North Volkswagen.
Time for a new car? Visit Finley True North Honda and Volkswagen, located in the northwest at Centennial Hills. Get the Finley price. Sir.